Hey guys, grab your snorkels and flippers. This week we're diving into the world of Abzu. Hey guys, welcome back to 8-Bit Archaeology. My name's Eric and I love playing video games. So, a little bit of housekeeping. Wrist update if anyone cares. I'm in a brace now and I can actually hold a controller again, yay! Which means I've been able to play games normally, as normally as I can with limited wrist motion. Feels good to be back in it and I can't wait to dive into some more recent titles. Like I picked up Smash Bros, I picked up this game called Grease, and I also picked up Guacamelee 2, which that one is really cool. But that's not the game I'm here to talk about this week. This week, I am here to talk about a little game called Abzu. This game is one I picked up on Switch when it came out, I think, a couple weeks ago. And it's one that I completed in one night, but it was one that completely encapsulated my entire attention span for one single night in a way that a game so rarely does. I was completely enraptured, and what I want to do is I want to kind of break down what about this game I found so awesome to go through. So yeah, let's pivot into talking about reasons why I think Abzu is a pretty cool game, and we'll go from there. So you're probably wondering, what is the basic premise of Abzu? Well, it is basically a diving simulation game, and that's it. Okay, good episode, guys. Nah, I'm kidding. Abzu is a lot more than just a diving simulator game. This game, to me, embodies the epitome of the word atmosphere means. It is a diving simulator game. It has swimming physics and everything, but this game wordlessly creates an underwater landscape that you explore. So the basic premise of the story of the game is very vague. This game is very light-handed in terms of storytelling, but there are context clues all over that you can pick up on if you know where to look. So basically, when you start out, you're just floating in the ocean and you have to explore. And honestly, when you first open this game, it is downright gorgeous. The graphics are sort of polygonal and cel-shaded, which I'm always a big fan of cel-shaded graphics because they're things that hold up over time pretty well. Cel-shaded games have a quality to them that doesn't have definition by amounts of polygons or edges or anything like that. They're more an expression of animation. And this isn't as cel-shaded as something like the Wind Waker is, but it's sort of like halfway there and like between that and a realistic 3D game. So right off the bat, the presentation of this game is downright astounding. The water physics work perfectly. The swimming mechanics were slightly confusing for me at first, but after figuring them out, they operated like how I would think I was swimming underwater. So I really commend the developer on that, because I had to imagine that's not something that's easy to pull off, to create realistic swimming mechanics and make it feel like you're actually moving through water. So the environments of Abzu are absolutely gorgeous. It recreates multiple different types of environments, and what this game really pulls off well in its rich atmosphere is the fact that the environments seem almost steeped in certain colors. You start off in a pretty, I don't want to call it generic, but it's basically what you imagine the ocean to look like. It's very blue, open water, there's coral reefs everywhere, looks great. And honestly, I have to say too, the real star of this game is the aquatic life, because they have taken so much time and painstakingly recreated actual underwater species that you can latch onto and swim with, and they'll identify the species as you do it. There's also a function where you can meditate and you can pan between different underwater species and watch them interact with things underwater. It's pretty fantastic. But what's so great about this game is the fact that it steeps you in its world, right? This is a game where, and I know I say this all the time, but this is the epitome of a game where you should have a big pair of headphones over your ears so you can't hear anything else, plug it in, and I would recommend playing this on the TV. I don't think the handheld mode on the Switch really does it justice. I recommend using a larger screen because there's just so much to take in. These environments will pull you in completely because you basically have an orchestral soundtrack playing in the background as you move through serene vistas of water with moving plant life and fauna and all kinds of fish, and it is just Everywhere you turn, there's something to see, and everything that you can see is worth seeing. This is a game where I literally took pauses just from doing the main objective, which are kind of vague to begin with, and just took in the surrounding area. It was just so beautiful. And I probably sound like a broken record on that already, but it, really, if you are... This game's length isn't long. This game can be beaten in one sitting very easily, a couple hours. But it's totally worth doing. The Switch version is running at $20, I think, so I would either wait for it to go on sale, or maybe you can get it for cheaper on Steam by now. I don't know. But either way, this game is worth that $20 to me. I got my money's worth out of it in just a couple hours I played it, and I don't say that about many games. The developer has taken so much care in creating this underwater atmosphere that feels like its own contained world that I couldn't pull myself away from it, and I had to know what happened. I had to know what my journey was leading to. And that is something that I really respect, because to start a game where you are not given a clear objective and you basically are just exploring and you have to piece together what you have to do, it does a really good job of letting you figure that out on its own. Mind you, it's not a difficult game. The puzzles aren't hard to figure out. They're pretty... Not hand-holding is the wrong word. They guide you in the right direction by making it sort of obvious. Through just exploring the basic areas, you'll find where you need to go and what you need to do. But it's the fact that you are motivated to explore these different environments and continue to interact with them that's the real key to this game, because if you love an exploration game, this is your type of game. It's really... I couldn't believe just how much I wanted to know what happened, and I was actually really sad when it was over too, because I got so enthralled in this underwater landscape that I was like, damn, I might need to go back and just play that through again after I take a little time away from it, just so it has the same impact, because this game's story is very... it's not linear, it's not very... it's not really told to you. Basically, if you do some exploring, you can figure out that you're sort of in the ruin of this underwater civilization that no longer is prospering, and I don't want to say too much more than that, but there's a sort of twist in the middle of the gameplay that almost treats itself sort of like the flow of a song, right? So the game starts out really strong for the first half, and then things kind of wind down and build up, and then at the end it's sort of a crescendo of everything that you've seen so far in the game, and it's so rewarding for the short amount of time that you actually put into it. So what are some key things to creating an atmosphere in-game? Well, it's already some of the things I've talked about, right? You need to have a clear art style and definition. The presentation of your game is essential at any base level of game design. It's something that needs to convey what this game is sort of about, and Abzu is very comparable to Journey, which was a game that came out in the last decade that was basically, for lack of a better... if you boiled it down to just basic gameplay terms, it was a walking simulator. But this game was about more than the walking. It was about exploring. It was about getting to a destination and the journey to get to that destination, and that's also what Abzu is about, and that's what I love about it, right? So what are some things that you can... that can create a rich environment? Well, first off, vibrant visuals, which Abzu has. The cel-shaded environments are worth exploring and feel alive as you move through them, because there's constant motion and everything feels habitated. You need to have fluid mechanics for your diver, first off, as well, right? Because without those diving mechanics, Abzu would fall flat. If it didn't feel good to swim through the water, I would not be playing this game at all. I would not spend more than 5 minutes in it, because diving simulation is something that feels very clunky when done wrong. But then also, what really swept me in was the soundtrack, which I mentioned a little bit earlier, but it is track after track of orchestra music that perfectly fits with the atmosphere of the game, right? The visuals are connected to the music, and they also have a certain ebb and flow to them that pulls you through everything. It's sort of like water moving through a valley, right? This game directs you through a certain guided path, but it gives you a little bit of wiggle room to ebb and flow. That's what I really love about this game. So, yeah, this is gonna probably be a little bit shorter of an episode, but I just wanted to gush about Abzu for a little bit. I think I'm actually gonna do another section after this, but we'll see about that. Anyway, so in summary, should you buy Abzu? I think so. But I would recommend getting it not on the Switch if it's not on sale. I think it's worth the $20, but I know a lot of people will have trouble justifying that cost for a couple hours of gameplay, but this is a game I wholeheartedly recommend on the Switch too, because it ran really well on the Switch, and you can pick it up on any other console as well. It's probably cheap on Xbox or PlayStation 2, but if you're looking for a game to just sit down, hone in on, and focus on gameplay and investigating a world and forget everything for a little while, this is your game. Go get Abzu. So, since that section on Abzu was a little shorter than I would usually go on one game, and that partially has to do with the length of the game, it's sort of a microcosm experience that I think you should just sit down with and experience, because that's what the game is made for. It doesn't have a greater purpose than that. It doesn't have too many lofty ideas. It just does what it does super well. So, for this second half of the podcast, I kind of wanted to go through... This is a little bit different, and I'm not going to do this every podcast episode. I think what I'll try to do is probably, since I'm putting out about two episodes a month, one episode will be completely a long episode dedicated to a game, and then the second episode might be sort of a micro explanation of a game I would recommend, like this, and then also other games I've been playing. So this section is going to be sort of a mixed bag of different games that I've been touching on lately. So it is currently December 13th. What have I been playing? Well, let's see. I pulled up my Switch here, and what I see on the screen is a few games that I would like to briefly mention. So the first one I see that I started the other day is Guacamelee 2. This is the sequel to the other Guacamelee game by Drinkbox Studio, and both of these were ported to Switch a couple months ago, or they were announced. I played the first Guacamelee completely through, and my god, it is such a good Metroidvania game, but it's different than the Metroidvania games I've played earlier this year and talked about on the podcast. Guacamelee to me is not so much about its Metroidvania aspects as it is about the platforming and integration of power-ups into combat. This game has a much more fleshed out combat system than most games, and those moves are also integrated with the platforming. So basically you have different special moves that might be an uppercut or a side punch or a frog jump or something like that, and these mechanics can not only be used to platform and break down different colored blocks that gate your progress, but they can also be used in combat as moves. So you're getting two uses for these things besides just opening up new areas, and that's really essential for a Metroidvania, and I think Guacamelee does it super well. I don't know if it does the backtracking as well as some of the other games, but if you're looking for a lighter Metroidvania with some decent humor in it, this is a good one to pick up. I just started Guacamelee 2 the other day, and what I love about it is that I feel like I'm just picking up Guacamelee again, and it's just more of the same. But that's not a bad thing, because Guacamelee itself is a pretty relatively short game in terms of Metroidvanias, but I would highly recommend this one if you would like a little bit of Lucha in your life. Another one that I've been playing on and off the last few months is called Mark of the Ninja, and oh my god, this is hands down the best stealth game I've ever played. I grew up on the Sly Cooper series, so I've always had an interest in thieving games or sneaking games, but god, those games don't do it right. Mark of the Ninja does it so well. The art style of the game is sort of inky black aesthetics with you're moving through, well, it's a 2D game, and you sort of are moving through these different capsule environments, and you have to stealth your way through as a ninja. I mean, they had me hooked at playing as a ninja, but the sort of mechanics that are used in the stealth missions in this game are insane. Everything has a noise, everything has tactility to it, and you can even screw up silent kills. So if you're looking for the best sneaking game I've ever played, like I probably can't do it justice by just explaining it in a couple minutes, but if you're looking for a really good stealth game and you loved Sly Cooper growing up, these are radically different games in terms of premise and theme, but if you want to play something the next step up, check this one out. So then another one that I have been playing on and off for, better half of a year, I think, or half of the last half of this year, is SteamWorld Heist. Now, I absolutely love the SteamWorld franchise. I believe I've mentioned SteamWorld Dig 1 and 2 on here before, and I picked up Heist when it was on sale and first got pointed to the Switch. This is a really good tactics game. The best thing I can equate it to is sort of a 2D version of XCOM. So if you really love XCOM or Mario vs. Rabbids, I would recommend this game. Or if you just love the SteamWorld Dig series. It is very different in terms of its gameplay because it's more about positioning. So it's technically a 2D strategy game that kind of has platforming elements, but they aren't reaction-based. It's more about positioning your characters behind cover and on different platforms and angling your shots, which that part is what got me at first, is the fact that you can angle your shots in this game to attack different enemies. And it's crazy because you can miss. It's not like Mario and Rabbids where you have a percentage of a hit. It is based on where you aim your shot. So there is so much at stake with every turn if you miss. And I really love that. It also has a really good difficulty setting system where it basically has like five different difficulty settings. At first, I was playing with sort of the experience level because I'm kind of well-versed in strategy games. They're one of my favorite genres. But I dropped it for a while, and then I picked it back up recently because I needed a game that didn't rely on reaction timing with my bad hand. And this was a good one to pick back up. I'm about, I believe, 75% of the way through the game. I plan on finishing it. I don't know if it'll be this year. It's kind of one I pick up and play in spurts. But if you're really into strategy games, this is a really good one to pick up. All right, the last sort of game that I want to talk about. And I haven't been playing it that long, but what I've been playing, I absolutely love. So let's talk Super Smash Bros. Ultimate very quickly. I'll probably do a full episode on this game. But if you have a Switch and you didn't pick up Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, what is wrong with you? Go pick it up. It is one of the best fighting games out there right now. And let me tell you what, I have been sort of a fair-weather Smash fan throughout my entire life, but this Smash Bros. Game has gotten me the most excited for any Smash Bros. Game ever. I think I've already played accumulatively about 12 hours with friends just over the last few days, and we are having a ball with it. I'm not even halfway through unlocking new fighters. I can't wait to play as some of the new ones. I think my new favorite is Simon Belmont because I just love his movement mechanics and the whip and the axe and all that good stuff. But God, go pick this game out. Okay, I lied. That's not the last one I want to talk about. The last one I want to talk about is this brand new game that just came out today that I have already put a couple hours into that I am loving, and it is another example of atmosphere similar to Abzu. I'm probably not going to do a full episode on this game, so it's probably worth mentioning here, but it's a game called Grease. It just came out. This game is downright beautiful. It only costs about $15 on Switch, so I think it's going to be worth it regardless. But it is sort of a 2D puzzle platformer where the entire world is a watercolor. And it is insane how gorgeous this game looks. It is one of the most visually stunning games I've seen this year, hands down. I can't give my full opinion on it yet because I'm not sure where I stand on the ending and everything. And the platforming isn't the most difficult stuff. It's more about exploring, similar to Abzu. Like, this one is actually a pretty good comparison because this is like a 2D version of building an atmospheric game. And basically, you start out in a monochromatic world, and you gradually restore color to it as you go through the game. And oh my god, it is just so good to look at. I think it's worth the price of admission just for the art itself and exploring the world. So that's another one that I'm going to be digging a lot more into that hopefully I will have more to talk about later on. So I think that's all the games I've really been playing in the last couple of weeks. I hope you have been able to pick up some of these games because so far I'm loving all of them. Guacamelee 2 feels like a really good sequel. It doesn't even like... I like the fact that when you lose your powers, it's because Juan just got fat and like settled down with the family. And it's a really good build on the first one because you start out with every power up and in the opening sequence and then lose it, but it just feels like I'm just diving back into one of my favorite games. And I'm gonna put so much time into Smash Bros. Ultimate, it's not even funny. So I think it's time for us to pivot into the conclusion. So guys, I think that's going to do it for me here. I know this episode was different, as all of my episodes generally are, but this is something that maybe I want to return to. Maybe not every other episode. Maybe I'll do it like once every 2 months or something to let you guys know some games that I think are worth investing some time in. And hopefully you've picked up some of them, and if so, you should hop into our Discord and talk with us about them. We have a What's Everyone Playing channel that is that people come into and let us know what they're playing, what they love about the games they're playing. I frequent my own it's my Discord, so I frequent it a lot, and you can find the link in the show notes. You can reach me at 8bitarch on Twitter and at gmail.com. You should follow us. Hey, go give us a good review on iTunes because that only helps the show. And, you know, tell all your friends about it. We're getting to the end of the year and Maybe they want a nice gaming podcast to listen to. I don't know. I don't know what people listen to next to a Yule log. What I am going to do, just to give you guys a little bit of a taste of what is going to be happening, is I will probably put out one more episode before the year is done, and it's going to be my wrap-up episode, and I'm probably going to go through my top games for the year. I know that's pretty kitschy, but I feel like it's worth doing for the podcast, because there are games that I've already talked about on the podcast, but I kind of want to do a year in wrap-up of games that have really had an impact on me, and I've really loved playing. So that's going to be it. Thank you guys so much for listening and putting up with my ramblings on a bi-weekly basis. You know I love all of you and your interaction with our love for gaming. So that's going to be it, and I will see you guys next time.